Our first public hearing is subdivision 2018-28, Ocean Meadows.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 70.23 acres plus or minus into 136 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the northwest side of Beaver Dam Road, approximately 477 feet south of Kendall Road. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 2, Parcel 2, and District 234, Map 2, Parcel 2.02. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Staff would submit for the record a subdivision plan TAC comments. So we received comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the Office of the State Fire Marshal, the Public Works Department, the Delaware Electric Co-op, the Department of Ag, the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, the Public Health Department, and we'd also note that this would have...
Sir, do you not hear that phone?
Yes, I can't. Somebody don't know how to turn it off.
That's all right. It's okay. It happens to the best of us, as Mr. Hopkins just observed. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Cornwell.
Okay. We also received comments from Public Health. This also would have gone through the PLUS process, as it is over 50 units. And we also received an exhibit booklet. Thank you.
All right, then. Fuquay and Company.
It's been a very interesting meeting so far.
So far. Had four motions on the same application. We've had a runaway cell phone. What's next?
Well, I hope it's not me. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm representing the applicant, Stonemark Ventures LLC. With me are Megan Connor on behalf of Stonemark and Jason Palkowitz of Solutions IPEM. It was an exhibit book that was submitted for the record. Technically, this is an application for a 136-lot AR cluster subdivision on a parcel of land containing 70.23 acres. The land is located on the northwest side of Beaver Dam Road, approximately 470 feet south of Kendall Road, and the parcel is located adjacent to the Ridings at Rehoboth subdivision. This is a very unusual subdivision application in that 100 of the proposed 136 lots have already been approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I would characterize this application more as a corrective application for the reasons that I will explain. On July 26, 2016, the Commission granted preliminary approval for subdivision 2016-2, and that approval was for a 100-lot cluster subdivision on the same parcel of land. That development was to be called the Estates at Cedar Grove, and final subdivision approval was actually granted in March of 2018. No lots have been sold in that subdivision. Site work is being done on it at this time. The application before you tonight is basically that same application, but to increase the number of lots from 100 to 136, and the name of the subdivision has been changed to Ocean Meadows. As you know, the permitted density in an AR cluster subdivision is 2 lots per acre, and since this parcel contains 70.23 acres, 140 lots are actually permitted. So the proposed 136 lots we're requesting are less than the density permitted in an AR1 cluster. Now, the obvious question is, why did the original application only request 100 lots rather than the 136 lots that I'm asking for tonight? One possible explanation would be that there were wetlands or other topographical features on the site that prohibited the higher density. But that's not the case on this application. Can you put up the original? Uh,
Well, she's doing that, Mr. Fuqua.
Yeah, that's it.
What was the name of the original developer?
The estate, the original?
No, not the name, the developer.
It was Stonemark.
Okay, Stonemark.
Same developer.
No, just so we could go back and look at that, because that's, I think, how it was indexed in the notes.
Right, what's on the board now is the original subdivision that was applied. And as you can see from that original site plan, there's a very large area of open space located on the northwest portion of the site. And most of that land is suitable and appropriate for development, but all of that was designated as open space on the original subdivision application. So the question again is why were only 100 lots requested? And the simple answer is that the original application was based on a misunderstanding of the language of the cluster lot ordinance. In effect, the original application was a mistake. It was a very expensive mistake since it resulted in the exclusion of 36 lots that were actually permitted by the ordinance. Now, neither I nor Solutions were involved in the original subdivision application, but it's clear that there was some fundamental misunderstanding of the somewhat confusing code provisions for a cluster subdivision. And as a zoning attorney, I mean, I deal with the cluster ordinance quite often, but it is certainly confusing. And particularly for Mr. Mears, who hasn't really been exposed to this too much, this is going to really sound confusing. On a cluster ordinance, there's actually three possible ways to do an AR1 cluster ordinance. There is the standard AR1 cluster, which is what we're asking for tonight, and that permits 2 units per acre. In the same section of that ordinance, there's a second cluster ordinance that's referred to as the superior design AR1 cluster. When that option was created, it provided for expedited review by the commission. So in other words, when you filed it, you basically got ahead of other people. And that doesn't sound like a big deal today, but in 2008, when that provision was adopted, it was taking 18 to 20 months to get from an application to a hearing. So it was a significant factor then that if you did that, you basically saved over a year in terms of getting to your hearing. The third option is if you're in the environmentally sensitive development area, you can do an AR1 cluster. And that's the environmental sensitive development area, of course, is as designated in the comp plan. And in that area, you can do 2.178 lots per acre. For good reasons, and to the best of my knowledge, there has never been a superior design cluster subdivision application, with the exception of subdivision 2016-2, which was the original 100-lot application for the site. The reason none have been requested is because that if you do the superior design option, it requires that a yield plan be done showing how many 20,000 square foot lots you can fit on your site. And that number becomes a cap on the total number of permitted lots for the development. And I would estimate that if you do that type of yield plan, it probably results in approximately about a 25% reduction in the number of permitted lots. If you look at the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for subdivision 2016-2, which I did submit with the application, that does indicate that the commission found that the applicant had met the superior design requirements and that a yield plan had been submitted, resulting in the 100-lot cap. So it appears that that was treated as a superior design cluster. I think what happened was that the standard AR1 cluster section and the superior design cluster section were read in the right together, basically. They're read as if it was all one section. Now, I don't think it really matters how it happened. Our application tonight is to correct what clearly was a mistake. And I think it's my understanding that Mr. Robertson has already recommended to the commission that it's time to review the cluster option and maybe clarify it because of the very confusing language.
So just, yeah, Mr. Figueroa, if I could, for the commission, I agree mostly with what Mr. Fuquay just described on that. I really agree with it being confusing. County Council actually introduced an ordinance on Tuesday to address this, which doesn't affect this application at all. The one thing I just want to clarify, and it doesn't change the outcome of what Mr. Fuquay is saying, both of the cluster subdivision paths or choices, not the environmentally sensitive one, but the AR1 cluster ones, both require showing of superiority. Yeah, and he said the second one is the superior design AR1 cluster. Both of them require the commission to find that there is a, that the application is of a superior design. The second one that he referred to as a superior design, which had the yield plan, that actually has a bunch of requirements that you have to satisfy to show that you have a superior design subdivision. The first one, which he called the standard cluster, doesn't have any of those requirements. It just says you have to show that it's a superior design, period. You know, so it leaves a lot more discretion to the commission and to the applicant. There's some history behind that, which I'm not going to get into tonight, why, as Mr. Fuquay talked about, it's confusing the way it's drafted. But there are these two choices, and this one is under just the standard one, which is a general showing of superiority to a three-quarter acre lot, regular old subdivision. So.
And now that everyone understands that,
It's unless you look at the code and read it and read it and read it, and were there actually at the time it went through, it is confusing.
But what actually happened, the three sections that I referred to were not all adopted at one time. They were all adopted at different times, and they didn't quite line up right.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that when the first cluster ordinance was adopted, it said that an applicant had to show superiority. And as Mr. Wheatley remembers when he was on the commission, that left no guidance to the applicants or the commission, and the commission was not seeing subdivisions that it thought were superior, so they wanted to create standards that you had to meet. The ordinance was introduced that created all those standards. It got a favorable recommendation from planning and zoning, went to county council. At the time of county council, they wanted to make it optional, not mandatory. So instead of clearing things up, it frankly made it a little more confusing. Yeah, so that's a discussion for another day, but that's the background on it.
That's coming in about 2 months.
Yeah.
Here in about 2 months.
Yeah.
So getting back though,
there's a reason that this is the only, I guess not anomaly, but that this is, there's a reason that this is the only one
that's ever been done.
Yeah. Somebody just kind of tripped into that bucket somehow.
Yeah, because
there's really no
other than the expedited. You didn't get anything other than the getting expedited on it, but you lost 25% of your density.
And can you define exactly what you're getting when you get expedited?
You just back then, rather than wait
a year and a half.
Yeah.
Back then, it was a big deal.
Now you get nothing because to get expedited, you'd probably be maybe a week or a month ahead of regular scheduling. So anyway, with that confusing background, what we're asking for tonight is basically to kind of undo the superior design cluster and make it a regular cluster, which is the same type of cluster subdivisions you see almost at every meeting.
So you're willing to give up on that expedited portion of it?
We're here now. We don't need to be expedited.
Yeah, they're expedited all they're going to get.
Right? All right. I will mention that the evidence and the statements that are in subdivision 2016-2, as well as the commission's decision and findings, which are set forth in the commission minutes of May 26, 2016, July 14, 2016, and July 28, 2016, are equally applicable to this application, and I would request that they be incorporated as part of the record tonight. As I said, this is the same subdivision. The new plan really just makes some minor revisions to the original plan, and it locates the majority of the 36 additional lots in the area that I mentioned that was the open space. So where you see that hook kind of comes out, it fills up more of that, what was shown as that open space, than the original site plan. Even with those additional lots, there remains a voluntary buffer from the lots to the wetlands of over 100 feet. So this is well in excess of, well, there is no requirement for buffers from non-tidal wetlands. So this does have a 100 feet, even with the additional lots. And just for comparison purposes, the original plan was 100 lots. This plan is 136 lots. The average lot size of the original lots were 10,278 square feet. The average lot size on the new plan are 9,489 square feet. And the open space on the original plan was about 38 acres, which was 55% of the site. On this new plan, it's about 27 acres, which is about 39% of the site. And the cluster development requires a 30% open space, so this exceeds that significantly. Everything else about the development, sewer, water, entrance, buffers, the recreational amenities all remain the same as in the original application. None of that changes. It is my understanding that the original development was going to be served by a Tidewater for sewer, and this is also going to be served by Tidewater for sewer, and there is a letter in the file from Tidewater saying they would provide that. I've been told there is a disagreement between the HOA at the Ridings and Tidewater that I think is in the process of getting resolved. It doesn't directly involve us. We're going to get central sewer from Tidewater, and the condition of our approval, of course, would be that we would be served by central sewer. But again, we're not really a part of that dispute, and I don't know whether, if it's raised, we understand there might be a legitimate dispute, but we're just going to get central sewer from Tidewater. I have prepared for your consideration proposed findings and conditions. The conditions that I'm submitting to you are identical to the conditions of approval of subdivision 2016-2, with two exceptions. Condition A changes the number of lots, obviously, from 100 to 136. And I added a new condition Q, and that states that the recreational amenities, which are a pool and a clubhouse, will be completed prior to the issuance of the 70th building permit. That was not a condition of the original application. It's normally a condition you place on it, so I added that one to this. In summary, as I said, this is a corrective application to address a mistake that was made as to the permitted density for a cluster subdivision. The proposed 136 lots in this AR cluster subdivision fully comply with the provisions of the zoning code and the subdivision ordinance, including the permitted density. And again, all other aspects of the original approval remain the same. And that would conclude my presentations. I will submit the conditions and findings.
Well, Mr. Fuquay, I've just got one or two questions I want to ask you for the benefit of the commission that wasn't here last time and for the public. How does this development compare to the Ridings in terms of lot size, density, general character?
I'm not exactly familiar with the size of the Ridings. I think it may be less. Well, it's an AR subdivision. I don't know what the density is. Obviously, it can't be more than 2 units per acre.
Right. Okay.
All right. I guess I really can't answer that question without knowing.
Well, there may be some other folks here that can. But don't go away. We'll see if anybody else has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
Well, I will say you answered most of the questions I had, except for the one that you knew you were coming before me this time. And so why do I not see any kind of interconnectivity offered with undeveloped lots next to it?
Well, again, the original subdivision that was approved didn't have any interconnection.
That will be something I will be requesting.
And I will again mention the ongoing issue that where you have private streets, if you have interconnection to another private street, it raises questions of maintenance, it raises questions of liability, and it also creates, although I understand the benefit of having interconnection, if you're a resident who buys a house on a street that becomes a through street for people making shortcuts, it causes quite a problem.
I certainly understand that. I would be happy, oh my gosh, I'm one of the people. Excuse me.
All right, give it here.
I would be happy if it were that front road that you have there that has a cul-de-sac at the end of it. If you had a road, a stub road going out with a pole in the middle of it that could be removed with a linchpin so an emergency vehicle could get in if it had to.
And let me qualify that. I meant a through road. Certainly emergency exits or entrances that can be breakaway or something are appropriate.
But I would like to see that on the plan so that it is there for the future. So when the next development comes in, we go, look, see where the emergency interconnection should
be. Mr. Palkowicz is indicating that that is not a problem. That can be added to the site plan if you want to make it a condition.
Thank you.
Is that correct?
Yes. Palkowicz, if you're going to testify, you got to come up and introduce yourself. I'm serious, Mr. Palkowicz.
You're going to testify.
Even if it's just yes, sir.
Just yeah. Say, yeah, Jason Palkowicz with Solutions IPM. Yes, sir.
You may be seated. I'm sorry, people, but it's not funny. The tape, the recording system doesn't see these people. It doesn't know who they are, and we have to have them put themselves on the record, so that's why we do that. Yes, ma'am.
That was it? I mean, the rest of the questions I had were, you know, what about wetlands? How much extra space are you taking up? And I'm waiting to hear what everybody else has to say.
All righty. Mr. Hopkins.
No questions.
Okay.
I have none. Thank you.
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Staff on this end?
No, for me, thank you.
Okay. And?
None, thank you.
And?
Nope, none, thanks.
All right then, Mr. Fuquay, we'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2018-28 Ocean Meadows? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2018-28? Yes, sir, come on up. Yes, in the black jacket.
Good evening. My name is Greg Bennett. I'm a member of the board of directors of the Ridings at Rehoboth, and we would like to acknowledge and thank you for your opportunity to appear today before you regarding the rezoning request by Ocean Meadows to increase the number of homes from 131 to 136. A little bit of background information that may answer some of the issues that were raised. The Ridings entered into negotiations with both the developer and with Tidewater to permit an easement so that the sewage could come into our development, into our, not ours, it's owned by Tidewater, but we have a treatment facility on our property. And the developer and Tidewater were interested in accessing our facility that's on our property for sewage. We entered into agreements with both the developer and with Tidewater. And this is our issue. We did not oppose the original application at all. On September 17th of 2017, the Ridings Owners Association and Tidewater entered into a memorandum of understanding in which Tidewater agreed that within 90 days of this execution, and that's when it was executed, was September 17th of 2017, that Tidewater would obtain from a licensed independent professional engineer acceptable to the Ridings that the wastewater treatment plant and the drip field within the Ridings at Rehoboth would be operational as currently designed without any defects. In the event that the independent professional engineer retained by Tidewater and is accepted by the Ridings discovered any defects in the operation of the wastewater treatment plant, Tidewater agreed to correct all deficiencies prior to connecting what is now Ocean Meadows to our wastewater treatment plant. The developer did not create any issues for us. They agreed, we agreed, and we have no problem with them. The problem we have is that the repairs, if any, are due, are almost a year overdue. We never got notification from Tidewater that our facility would be able to handle the 101 homes, let alone 136 homes. So to date, to our knowledge, ours being the Ridings, Tidewater has not obtained any report from any licensed independent professional engineer, and if they did, they have not shared it with us per the agreement, and thus the Ridings is unaware what deficiencies in the treatment plant or the drip fields may have been identified and or repaired. So we have concerns that our drip fields and our treatment facility that's on our property may not be able to handle this load because we've never gotten an independent report. In determining whether to grant the rezoning request, the Ridings asked the Planning Board to consider the fact that Tidewater has not complied with the provisions of this MOU that it entered into with us regarding the proper functioning of its treatment plant and drip fields that are located within the Ridings. We also understand that DENREC is involved with the drip fields and that the drip fields are undergoing repairs, apparently separate from the agreement between Tidewater and the Ridings. We are aware that several zones that a drip field have been closed off, reducing the permitted capacity of the treatment plant. So that's the basis of our objection. We want to make sure that our treatment plant and our drip fields are able to withstand the increase, the 101, we're 225 half-acre lots, the question that was raised before. Our lots are approximately half-acre. So we have 225 units on there. We're not doubting the capacity of the treatment facility. We're just not sure the condition of the treatment facility and specifically the infrastructure in our drip fields because we've had issues with them in the past. So part of the agreement we had was to make sure that we'd get an independent engineering firm to look at the infrastructure and determine if it would be capable of withstanding 136 now additional homes. We do have an issue that we agreed to 101, now it's 136, but that's not for this board to consider. So that's basically our objection. In principle, we don't object, but specifically we have an objection that we're not sure that our treatment facility and the infrastructure on our property will be able to handle the increase of 136 more homes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. That's Thank it. You for your time.
Yes, Thank indeed. You very much.
Okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Martin Dribelbus. I live on Streamview Court, which is adjacent to the Ridings development. In May, it was approved for 100 lots. We're now coming back and asking for an amendment to change it to 136. At that hearing, I asked specifically about the open space, and I would ask to go back to page 5, which is the old plan that was approved. That's the new one. No.
I gotta get to it.
Okay.
There you go.
Can I show you on here, or can I
do it? You can do it on there.
You can use the pen.
You use the pen and
okay. A little like a cell phone. I'm a little behind on the technology. This is the open space that...
I think you need different colors.
What?
Hit one of the colors at the top.
The color at the top.
Any of those colors at the very top. Here, I'll show
you. Well,
this is technology.
This is dangerous.
The blind leading the blind.
Yeah. Worse than that.
This is the open space. This is the open space. Our property is right here.
Right.
This is the open space that I'm concerned about. All right. When Mr. Buescher, the developer, was asked about the open space that's on this plan, it's listed as 37 acres. And I asked specifically if it was going to be woodland, grassland, what? And he assured us at that time that that 37 acres would be undisturbed woodland and left exactly the way it was. And that was the Ridings and our understanding at the time that it was approved for the 100 lots. The plan shows, that plan shows 1,000 feet of undisturbed woodland. After that testimony, myself personally and I believe the Ridings had no objection to the 100 lots. Now we go today to the new proposal, if you could switch that, please. And if you look in that area, which is right at the top, right there where the cursor is, they're adding a street, which is Wentworth Way, and they're adding four lots in that area, which is in direct conflict or with what they had proposed in their original plan. They're adding 32 lots on the curl around. I personally don't have any objection to those 32 lots. My objection is the Wentworth Way Street and the four lots that will border the Ridings. The 32 lots, in my opinion, would not have an adverse effect on the residents of the Ridings, and I have no objection. But the four lots obviously will destroy previously promised existing forested open space. And I'm requesting the Planning Commission to consider the 32 lot expansion by deleting lots 68 through 71, which are the four that border the Ridings, and deleting the Wentworth Way Street.
So just real quick, so if they put the other four lots over by that curl that's not near you, where you are, you would be fine with that?
I wouldn't have any objection to moving those.
I understand what lots you're talking about. Yeah. I'm just trying to get in my mind where you're going with this.
The original plan was to have all of that as undisturbed forested land.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
We're good.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Palkowitz. What's the distance?
That was the next question.
Yeah, what's the distance there?
There's a minimum 20-foot buffer, but I believe that road is, if I recall, 30 feet away, minimum, from the right-of-way line to the property line.
So there's actually 30 plus the road?
Correct. So the lot would be 80 feet away. The front would be another 25, so it'd be 115 feet from the front of the house to that property line. I'd imagine there's probably a 15 or 20-foot setback or buffer on their property as well. So.
Okay.
And that's a wooded buffer in there. That
correct.
What it looks like on.
It's currently wooded now.
Currently
correct.
Wooded now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. Who's next? Who else would like to speak in opposition? Anyone? All right. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Final thoughts? All right.
I'm not saying anything. I just wanted to make sure I was clear on what this man's objection
was. Should we ask Jason?
He didn't have an objection to the number of lots, just where they were.
If you want to ask him a question, I'll have him come up here.
Is there anything on the other side of those 32 lots existing?
Do you want to ask him if that's a doable thing? Because, I mean, if we would have to be.
I don't know that should come into your decision whether it's doable or not. You all control what
is
doable.
I just brought it up to find out.
If the commission decides to approve this and wants to place some type of condition on it, one way to do that is you don't change the number of lots that are permitted. You just say that they can't be there.
Yeah.
Then it's up to them to figure out if they can get it done or not. It's
or really how much not, of a buffer is in between.
Yeah. If the commission decides that it's an issue, then that would be the way to handle it. And then it's incumbent upon the engineer to figure that out. That's why they get the big bucks. So,
fair enough.
Anyone else? All right, then we will close the public hearing. We thank you for being with us this evening. You may.